mercy, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Romans 8:28, the promise of God to his people. Paul has mentioned some circumstances that befall the saint of God in the earlier verses of this chapter. And then when he comes to chapter number 8, when he arrives at this particular verse, he seems to climb to the pinnacle and shout. Now all that's there, all that can be there. However, God is going to turn every bit of it around and make it for your benefit and for his glory. We grumble and complain a lot, don't we? And really without cause, especially if we realize that God's going to make this thing to where it's for my benefit and for his glory. Things that we think, how in the world could this be? Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Mark this down in your little mind. It's not just the bad things. It's not just suffering and pain and that kind of thing. But other things, everything in your life, God has designed to turn it to your benefit and to his glory. Someone once asked me, after making a statement like that, someone once asked me, said, well, Brother Lai, what about sin in my life? I said, when you sin as a believer, believe it or not, God turns it around for our benefit and his glory. Yes, now, how does he do that? Well, in repentance, he humbles us and brings us to our knees before him, pleading for forgiveness. And he forgives us. And when he forgives us, what a blessing. What a joy. Now, I come to where Paul addresses that thought again and say to you, shall we sin that grace may abound? Oh, no, that's not the picture. Not at all. But when we do, God has a way in our correction, making it for our benefit. Now, my daddy, more than one time when he was correcting me, let me take that back. My daddy never corrected me. He just beat the devil out of me. So when daddy was whipping me, let me change that word, when daddy was whooping me before, now there's a difference in whipping and whooping. When you're getting whipped, you're just barely feeling it. But when you're getting a whooping, you know it, and everybody in the county knows it. All those in earshot, I promise you, they know it. Daddy would say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. And I thought for years, Brother Gary, I thought for years, my daddy is the biggest liar. How can he lie like that? Because I knew what I was about to feel, and I knew he wasn't going to feel what I was feeling. But he was feeling something else. I realized that when my children came along. I realized what daddy meant when he said that. Now listen carefully. God, in correcting us, shows his glory, his majesty, his sovereignty, his willingness to forgive, and I could go on for the rest of the evening. At the same time, he breaks us to make us what he would have us to be. Oh yeah, Romans 8:28 is fact, absolute fact. We need to believe it. I'm positive that there are multitudes of people who read this passage, many who listen to these sermons. They don't really believe that Romans 8:28 is so. Well, some of these things maybe. Some things maybe. That's not what the book says. All things work together for good. Now, whose good is that? That's my good, your good. To them that love the Lord, love God. To them that called according to his purpose. Now, we're dealing with these called according to his purpose. We'll pick that last phrase up maybe down the road somewhere. But right now we're dealing with the call. Those who are called of God and their actions. What are we to do as those who are chosen of the Lord? And we're using the alphabet, as you know. And we come tonight to the letter T. Thanksgiving. Being thankful. I invite your attention to many passages. I'm not going to deal with all of these tonight by any stretch of the imagination. But I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. While you're turning there, let me just quote a little passage for you from Psalm chapter number 100, the last part of that little chapter. Be ye thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful. Thankfulness is like the odor of incense. When all the sacrifices were finished and all the ceremony was finished in the tabernacle in the temple, there was something that remained, and it was the odor of the incense. And that odor of the incense is thankfulness. Thankfulness remains. Our hearts should always be grateful, not just in the worship service, but in a consistent basis. We ought to be thankful people. Now, I said a moment ago, we complain a lot. For some reason or the other, we've picked up the habit of complaining a lot. Amen. I was speaking with someone the other day, and I was dealing with this thing of the presidency as we know it today, if you could actually call it that. Amen. And I said, you know what? The Holy Ghost just smacked me. What do you mean? I said, I've been preaching for months and months from Romans 8:28. And the promise is that God's going to turn this out for my benefit and his glory. And here I am fussing about it. Yeah. Now somehow God's going to turn this thing around to where it benefits we as believers. Now listen to me. Yes, it really is, because he's God. And the promise is sure. I can't see it and you can't see it, but God can. And it's going to be for our benefit and for his glory. Now how he's going to do that, he hadn't told me. As a matter of fact, he didn't come and ask me. He'll work it out and it'll be right in every circumstance. I'm in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Here is literally the tie-in to Psalm 100. David has brought the ark to Jerusalem. He prepared a tent for it. And they took that ark and set it in the middle of that tent. Now this is the tabernacle now. So it's in the midst of it, not as it was in the wilderness, but in the midst of it now. And the ceremonies had taken place and the offerings had been given, and the king had given wine and flesh to everyone that had come to worship. And there was a multitude there. And then in order to make sure that this worship carries on and thankfulness carries on, now you can bet that David was grateful to have the ark where it was. And you can rest your very soul that Israel was glad to have the tabernacle where it was. For this was the symbol of the presence of God among his people. Now as David rejoices over that, and the children of Israel have brought their offerings, and God has been blessed and the people have been blessed, David sets it up so it will not fail to continue. And here in this chapter is where it all comes to pass. In verse number, I'm going to pick it up at verse number 7. Then on that day, David delivered first the psalm to thank the Lord under the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So here is the psalm to thank the Lord. And in the midst of all that, there are 23 things listed in this chapter that follow. Thankful people never get over being thankful. You'll always find something to be grateful for. Now, the first thing he says in verse number 8, give thanks unto the Lord. Here's the whole reason for the psalm. Here's the whole reason for the gathering. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I don't know how often you do this. I don't do it as often as I should. But very often when I walk through the doors of this place, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. Listen, there are very few times in my life that I haven't been able to go to the house of God. And I promise you, I miss it worse than I miss my mom and my daddy. I miss being in the house of God. I miss being in my place of service, whatever it is. And I want to be grateful. David said, give thanks unto the Lord. The second thing he says, then call upon his name. Just underscore these as we go through them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with each of them. If I did, we'd be here way into the morning. So here we are giving thanks and calling upon his name and making known the deeds of the Lord. Tell the people what the Lord has done. We used to have soul winning courses. And in those soul winning courses, we'd try to teach people how to go out and witness. And finally, and after all that, and after we'd gone through all of that, I said, here's what we need to learn to do. We need to go out there and tell people what Jesus did for you. Forget all these plans, throw them all in the garbage, and just tell people what the Lord Jesus did for you. And I base that on what Paul did. The Apostle Paul had a lot of fun telling folks what the Lord did for him. In the jailhouse, in the courthouse, wherever he was, telling people what the Lord had done for him. Now, if you don't know anything that the Lord's done for you, then you need to get on your knees before the Lord and cry for mercy. Save my wretched soul. God has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell folks what the Lord did for you. Then, verse number 9, sing unto him. Sing praises unto him. Now, in the verses that I skipped, David has set up those who are to sing, those who are to play the instruments, and all the things that are necessary to carry out these 23 things that come behind us. So they're singers. Now all of us can't sing. We can hum every once in a while. The only bird I know of, there's probably others, but the only bird I know of that doesn't have a song is a buzzard. You know why? Hangs around dead people all the time. Dead junk all the time. If you hung around the graveyard all your life, you wouldn't have a song either. Dead possums on the road. Sing. Sing, sing, sing. Talk of all his wondrous works. Do you know anything wonderful the Lord has done? And his name shall be called Wonderful. Thank God. The wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. And what a wonder it is. What a wonder it is, not only that Jesus came, but that he came to you and to me. Why did he do that? It's very simple. God gave us to him a long time ago. So here he comes to claim his bride, claim his own. The good thing is, nothing can keep him from claiming his own. That'll make you shout one of these days. The fifth thing, verse number 10, glory you, or glory ye in his holy name. Just get glad because his name's there. Jesus. His name's Jesus. Glory in his name. Have a good time around the name Jesus. Let them hear of them rejoice. Those who hear, just rejoice. Have a good time in the Lord. And rejoice because why? They're seeking the Lord. Yeah. Let me give you something right here. In the Old Testament economy, people sought the Lord. In the New Testament economy, God seeks you. We are found of the Lord. I hear it said all the time, and I would to God that people would grow up. Listen, God Almighty finds you. You don't find Him. You never have been looking for Him to start off with. And the only reason the Old Testament saint seeks Him is because he is part of the chosen race. But after the cross, the whole thing changes and the Holy Ghost finds us rather than us finding Him. Isn't that a blessing? See, if you're a child of God, you couldn't go to hell by accident. Hallelujah. Now you just think about what I said to you. If you're a child of God, you couldn't go to hell by accident because God Almighty is seeking you and He'll find you. And He'll find you in plenty of time. Your shoes are not going to be burning in hell. He'll find you in plenty of time. Amen. And He'll find you because you're His and have been since before the foundation of the world. Verse number 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Three things right there. Seek the Lord. Seek His strength. Hey, listen. You can't fight the battles you have to fight by yourself. Simon Peter said it this way, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, if He cares for you, that what we get in our head a lot of times is that, well, he just thinks about us. That's not what that word means. That word means like the caregiver. What does the caregiver do to the sick folk? Huh? Takes care of every circumstance. Is that right or is that right? That's what our Lord does for us. Casting your cares upon Him, for He careth. That word is a continual word. Careth for you. On a consistent basis, He's watching over you and caring for you. And this is getting so good, I can't hardly stand. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody go get my mule. I want to ride him around a while. Thank the good Lord. Verse number 12. Remember His marvelous works. Remember His marvelous works. Every soul in this building that belongs to the Lord Jesus is a marvelous work. This thing is not something that just happens in time, but it's something that God works out in time. And He uses time, and He uses means, and He uses things to bring us to a knowledge of Himself. And that's work. God is doing the work. Listen carefully. God does the work. You are the recipient of the work having already been done. You can't sit down at a good homemade banana pudding and enjoy it without realizing somebody put this together. Somebody labored to make this and do it right. And when it's done right, I'm telling you, I can look at it and my jaws start hurting as my saliva glands begin to secrete what it's going to take to digest what I'm looking at. Now, do you understand what I'm saying to you? The work is done. I'm going to enjoy the work having been done. That's the way it is with the Lord. He's done the work. We're going to enjoy the fact that it's already done. Glory. Hallelujah. He's done this wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Don't forget those as well. Look at verse number 13. This will be a help to you. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Hey, Israel is God's chosen people. That's his chosen race. Now, you want to talk about racism? You talk to God. Hello? You talk to God about it. It's God's chosen people. The church is made up of all nations, all colors, not all creeds, all colors. And they are as chosen as was Israel, but chosen for a different position. In the Old Testament, that is God's bride, God's wife, really. In the New Testament, the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus, having been chosen of the Father for the Son and given to Him, and He purchased us on Calvary. Now we're His. Are you hearing me? We are His by divine sovereign decree and appointment. That's a glorious thought. Thank the Lord. Verse number 15. Be ye mindful always of His covenant. Don't forget the Word. Don't forget the promises. Don't forget the things that God Himself has made with you. Now we've all, if we've known the Lord very long, we've all made deals with Him. Lord, if you will, I will. That's about as useless as it can be. The fact is, God will, and you will. Don't forget the covenant. Number 11, in the middle of that verse, the Word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. That's a long time, isn't it? Don't forget those things, because they are of the Lord. Now we move by a few verses and come to verse number 23. Here is number 12. Sing unto the Lord. Now we were singing a while ago. Now we're singing with a direction. Sing unto the Lord. This, by the way, is the only way we ought to sing. Really. This is the only way we ought to sing. Now, with that in mind, I want to say this. Listen carefully. If you're singing a song that you can't sing to Jesus, then you ought not be singing the song. Sing unto the Lord. Shew forth from day to day His salvation. There's a lady in Nassau County, Jim of a lady. I'll not call her name because she gets these CDs and listens to the broadcast. You'll not meet that woman unless she tells you something about her conversion. Now, I'm sure some people think that she's loony. But let me tell you something. That old gal knows what it is to know Jesus. And I would think that most of us who know Him seem like we're a little nutty to this world about us anyhow. They don't think we've got all of our marbles together. Somebody dropped us on our head when we was a baby. But I can assure you that we're the only ones that know where we're going, hello, and we know who's in charge of this thing, and we're glorying in the fact that He's going to work it all out. Talk about His salvation. By the way, don't be afraid to do so. Verse 24, declare His glory among the heathen. We need to do that, don't we? Are you aware that you're living in a heathen world? I didn't say they weren't religious. I said the heathen. That means they have no knowledge of God, the God of glory, the God of this Bible. I'm not interested in their God. I'm interested in the God of this book. The God that this book tells me of. The God that this book declares. His darling Son who shed His blood for my sin. The good Holy Ghost that came to birth me into the household of faith. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some religious system. I'm talking about the salvation of the soul of mankind that keeps him both out of hell and away from himself and his own wickedness and the wickedness of this world. Freed from the chains of the wickedness of this old world. Verse number 28. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, how do you do that? How can you add anything to the glory of God? And how can you add anything to the strength of God? Think it over for a moment. And I'm going to tell you. You add to the glory of God by being obedient to Him. Do you realize as the cars pass this place on Sunday and see you walking into the house of God, see your automobile out there in the parking lot, do you realize that you're giving glory to God by so doing? Do you understand that as you walk among the heathen in this world, as you hold your head up high and rejoice, and if you're like me, you're either singing a song or humming a song, you're rejoicing in the Lord along the way, when people see that, they're not wondering and saying, well, they've lost their marbles. They're saying, there's something different there, and that's bringing glory to the God of heaven. The strength is the fact that we are rejoicing in Him. Are you listening now? Rejoicing in Him and declaring His name. When you do that, you're strengthening the witness of Christ in this world. Amen. Most of us are weaklings. Amen. And we don't do a whole lot of rejoicing because of the things of the Lord. Amen. Verse number 29. This word give comes before us again. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Is that what we just said? Absolutely. Bring an offering. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That took us through number 17. Look back at that verse just a second. I want to just for a moment mention some things. We give glory to His name. And then he said, bring an offering. Do you realize that down through the ages of time, when men have come to worship the Lord, they bring an offering. They bring an offering. When the wise men came to see the Lord Jesus, what did they bring with them? They brought an offering. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. When the children of Israel would go to worship, they would take an offering. They'd take their tithe, but they'd take an offering. And here the Word of God is saying, come before the Lord and bring an offering. By the way, one of the major points of worship is bringing your offering. And I think I can show you in this Bible to where it's impossible for you to worship until you bring an offering. So bring the offering and worship in the beauty of holiness. These two words in worship are profound. Because it's the only religious system in the world that uses these two words, beauty and holiness. The worship of the Lord God Almighty is to be done in beauty and holiness. Now, if you want me to stay there, we can stay there for a month. But let me just simply say to you that beauty and holiness, beauty is the spirit that God has put in you that makes you beautiful in spite of how you look as far as your ancestry is concerned. I mean, they're just some of our ancestry that just brings that ugly right on down to us, doesn't it? But you know what makes us beautiful? The good spirit of the Lord inside. Oh, it surpasses all of the outward. Goes far beyond the facade because it's the beauty of the Lord inside. And holiness, that's God's way. And you're holy only because He made you holy. But stay there for a month as well. Verse number 30 gives us number 20. Fear before Him. That does not mean that you're to come before the Lord so scared you can't talk to Him. That's not what it means. It's reverence. Our word reverence is the word here. It literally means to honor the Lord. I go into churches sometimes and it sounds like a carnival atmosphere. That bothers me. And before I can preach in a circumstance like that, I have to get alone by myself. And this is fact. I have to get alone by myself and get God all over me before I can stand to preach. It bothers me when people have no more respect for the house of God than to let the kids run back and forth and run up in the pulpit and through the choir, walk across the pews. Something wrong with that. Somebody's missed the book when it comes to coming before the Lord. Now, if you're just coming to have a meeting, but if you're coming before the Lord, you ought to come the way you ought to come, with reverence. Reverence the Lord. By the way, all the earth is mentioned there. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. I come to verse number 34. Number 21, we're about to get there. Number 21, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Hallelujah. For His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Can you do that? All of us can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The little song that we learned as children, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord. If there's anything of major substance that's missing in the life of the church, it's this thing of gratefulness. We're not really thankful for what the Lord's done. Oh, I could stand here for an hour and just run back over some things back through the years that the Lord's done to bring us to where we are tonight. God's granted us great liberty in this nation. Now, that could change real quickly. That could change real quickly. But I say to you again that it'll still turn out for our benefit and God's glory. But that could change. And it may change. God may bring us back to the point that we say, thank you. Amen. Thank you. Now, I look back at some of the meetings we've had, and I rejoice for what God has done. And I try to remember to say thank you, Lord, for that. Because I've learned if I'm not thanking Him for that, I'm never going to see it again. Amen. And I'm afraid that's the reason the power is missing in the church, is because we forgot to thank Him for what He did back there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, give thanks. That word is plural. And literally it means don't stop thanking Him. Just keep on thanking Him for who He is and for what He's done. Verse number 35. And say ye, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Boy, if anything fits us today, that sure fits us, doesn't it? God, deliver us from the heathen. Deliver us from those who know not the Lord and those who would take our liberties and our freedoms away from us. Number 23, verse number 36. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And all the people said amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've asked the Lord in getting this part of this sermon together. I've asked the Lord to let me be more grateful. And I want to be. I don't want God to make me more grateful. I just want to be more grateful. You see, God can fix things to where you will be thankful. I'd rather just be grateful and be willing to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And thank you for living where I live. No other God could ever do that. All the pagan gods have to stay where they're put. But the God of glory goes where I go and goes where you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for going where I go. Bless be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, 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 and amen. Let's stand to our feet. I want us to do this tonight, just for a moment. I want you to just look in your own heart. And if you want to say it out loud, you say it however you will. But you need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My Heavenly Father, will you hear this, thy servant tonight, as I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for answered prayer. Real answered prayer in these days. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my heart that knows that we must be grateful. Thank you for a life that you've given. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the joy of thy salvation. But thank you for being who you are, what you are, and what you shall ever be. And thank you for going where I go. Thank you.